Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this April 14th, 2024, Session 44. Your host and program director here, James J. I am joined by my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
We had a little hiatus there.
A little bit of a hiatus.
Then we had a schedule change, and now we are raring to go. We're ready.
Part of our big block here on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Stick around for Seth Faces the Music and Unlabeled coming up a little bit later. But right now, we want to welcome to the WFHR stage one of our favorite people, one of our great friends, Wisconsin Ravage Community Theater Executive Director, local talent, amazing writer, director, and friend, Gretchen Powers.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Gretchen. It's good to have you with us, Gretchen. Thanks so much for being here. I want to get into so many of the cool things that are going on with HOPO and the kids' productions. Before we do, I'm curious of the 23-24 season. How'd you guys feel things went? We've got rumors still going on as we're filming or recording this, but a solid season, I would think.
Well, I didn't burn the place down.
Always rule number one, don't burn the place down.
It's nicely done.
Very first season, and I feel like if I could make it through my first season, I can make it through anything, and I think we did it. So
Yay! They're
just, you know, finishing up the set for Rumors, and we put on three really good shows so far. Definitely learned what works and what doesn't work and how I'll do things differently next year, and I think that we've got a really killer season for next year selected.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
I agree.
Gretchen, one of the things, and this isn't just coming from me, so you can't ignore it, and I'm just being nice. This is from a lot of the people I've talked to in the community and people I don't even know that well, just people that I've talked to. What they've really appreciated about your approach is not just kind of just doing what you want or just coming in and kind of doing the status quo or any of that, but adjusting and making little tinkering with things here and there and adding some things. A lot has been said about the studio theater and what's been going on with that. There's been a lot of excitement with the conversations and different things going on there. You're doing some really good work, you and the team and the board. And then there's the HOPO Productions and what we've got going on with this, where in years past, we're very fortunate to have a production for kids, like one solid production. Am I seeing this right? We got three different kids productions coming up?
Yes. And well, children's theater has always kind of been my baby, even from before I was on the board, and definitely before I got into this position. And I just feel I don't want to say that our theater is underutilized, but our theater is underutilized. We did our four main stage shows, and then we were lucky if we got a children's production and we our Silver Foxes productions. But now I actually have it set so that we have three children's productions in the current works, and then I'm not limiting it to summer, but that's for the after I'm done talking about these three.
Sure.
So what I'm doing is we have room in our budget for director showcases. That's something that was created, and we've been doing them in our studio theater for about the last 2 years. But we've never done a children's one before. And so I said, why don't we take that budget and do a children's show? But I'm like, but why am I limiting it to the studio theater? I want to do something crazy because that's what I like to do. So I got in touch with the chamber and arranged for us to have a Lunch by the River session that actually has a performance. Like, I know we've been invited to do Lunch by the River, and we provided entertainment, and like the previous people had DJed and stuff, but there was never a show that was done because you have to pay royalties when you do a show, regardless of if you have a paying audience or not. So I'm like, well, why don't we draw that from the director showcase budget? Yeah. And then it's going to come out of my pocket for like costumes or the cast people's costumes. Like, they have to provide their own, and I won't have a budget as far as that goes, but I was able to use the director showcase budget to pay for royalties to do a workshop. And so what better way to do an outdoor theater thing by introducing Shakespeare into children's lives?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So
this is something that we love around here, these combinations of nonprofits and we're better together, stronger together kind of thing, working with the chamber. And it's interesting. I was just talking with Lacey this morning, had her on Midday Magazine. Off air, we were talking, and she's so excited about this. And they're really being blunt about it, they're so happy to be working with you guys, and you guys, you know, to have this combination, let alone what you guys are going to do. It's a really fun thing. I want this to be said when it comes to all of these productions, and we're talking about kids. Some of these kids may go on to be entertainers, but the majority of them, very similar to high school sports and everything, the majority of them are not going to go on to do this professionally. But what they will go on to do is things that they need confidence in, things that they need reps in public speaking in. There's very few, there's nothing that you do in your life, whatever career you do, that you're not going to have to do some public speaking, whether mm-hmm. it's with 2 people or 100 people. The more reps we give kids with these things, the more experiences they have, the better they're going to be suited for this stuff. So I think that if a parent is out there listening, a kid is out there listening, being a part of these things, it's fun, it's entertaining. It's also future self-building. That's something that's pretty cool, too. When we combined with the chamber or something like this, it has the added benefit of putting into the community, entertaining the community. There's a lot of layers to it. That's pretty cool. What made you decide Shakespeare?
I've always loved Shakespeare, and I feel like it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I found a script that helps it be a little bit more user-friendly.
Yeah. Nice.
It's called Midsummer-ish, and so it's not it's not Midsummer Night's Dream, but it's the same story, same characters. You got Theseus and Hippolyta and Hermia, all the names that you can't probably pronounce, James.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
But it's the same story, but they make it more modern. Like, they even use a cell phone while they walk through the forest, and then there's no service. But then by the time they get out of the forest, oh, I got a bunch of messages from my dad, and he rethought our relationship, and we can be together. And so it's like I could see a lot of my children's actors playing those parts. And so those that signed up, we didn't even host an audition. A lot of our director's showcases are pre-cast, and it's whoever signs up gets a part. And so I had to obviously put a cap on it. And eventually, when I had enough kids, I just had to say, we're done casting it. But I found my people, and we're actually going to have our read through. Well, this week. And
yeah.
So
right,
it's going to be, it's going to be finally come to fruition and hear them for the first time. And it's really exciting. I have a mixture of high school kids, little kids. The little kids are all playing the fairies. And
my son, who's
a little kid, he's going into third grade next year. He'll even be one of the fairies, and he's more than excited to be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, right.
Very awesome.
As a side note, I couldn't imagine being on a text string with Hamlet. I can't imagine that'd be a lot of fun. A great character. I'd love to play the part.
With
but
a speech to text now, it would go on forever.
Yeah, it would never be very, it's very drawn out, long text, long. But now that I'm saying this, a little like texting with me, Seth. Now that I say, think about it.
Probably fewer emojis than texting with
probably.
You, though.
Midsummer-ish is a wonderful play adapted by Danielle Welch, and it does a nice job with these kind of things, really knows her stuff. Gretchen, with this one, you said you already have your cast. Do we have dates yet for this?
So
you mentioned
we will be performing at Lunch by the River on July 18th. So that's like the date that's like set in stone. If this goes well and we're like, man, this was really cool, we're going to try to come up with another weekend where the city will let us do it in the park for another one or two performances. But it really depends on the summer kids' schedules and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was trying to get the date back in there again. I know we had the date set and looking forward to it. And we're going to be talking about that and hyping it up on our morning shows and making sure that we get a good turnout for something like that. Also wanted to take some time to focus on the other production that you're directing. Because you're not busy enough. Disney's Newsies Junior.
Yes.
Can we talk about this?
Well, we can talk about this. It's the very first time that the theater has ever done a children's musical.
Yeah.
We have never done that before. And about time, but I'm sure my ancestors are probably rolling over in their graves thinking, what has she gotten herself into? But I'm very excited. It's not just me who's going to be directing. My partner is going to be Sue Becker, and she's done a lot with the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools plays and musicals. So I'm not alone, and I'm not with an inexperienced person. So I'm really excited to have a musical person with me.
What made you want to throw something like this in there that's different?
I think that the people did.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't done a musical in 10 years, period. WRCT hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's been asked for. In fact, a lot of the volunteers say, well, call me when you're doing a musical, or come find me when you're doing a musical. And I see like the Playhouse Theater in Plover and Marshfield, they do something with the college every summer where they put on a musical. And I'm like, I feel like we could do that. Why are we doing that? Let's do that.
Yeah.
And I love the show Newsies. It hits right where it needs to, and songs are always stuck in my head, but it's got a good meaning, and it teaches a good lesson, and it can fit a lot of children, which...
Oh, you and my wife. Oh, she is a diehard Newsies fan.
Throw
my
sister
gosh
into that too. Yeah. The only reason I know the movie and know is from my sister, just loving it and really singing along to it. I can hear her right now. It's also one of those things that it's not time sensitive. It still hits the meaning, the message behind it, and everything. I think that's parts that's really unique about the script as well.
The biggest thing is that children can make a difference is the whole point of Newsies. Kind of shows what they did back in the late 1800s when they weren't being treated fairly. There were a lot of child workers that they weren't living good quality lives because they were responsible for working for their family. And I think it makes people put different things into perspective. We could still be there if that never happened.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Absolutely.
In a dystopian future we do not need. We do not want. Something to think about, though. It's interesting. The audition dates for this are coming up April 29th and the 30th from 5 to 8 over the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. If you are a parent, a kid, you have never auditioned before, and especially maybe you haven't auditioned for a musical before, what are some of the things they should keep in mind?
I want them to be as relaxed as possible. It does not need to be perfect. I do not need them coming with a polished song. I don't need them to have the scenes memorized or a dance number figured out. Come with a song. It could be Happy Birthday. Just, I want to hear where you're at singing. If you don't want a singing part, just hum a little ditty for me. It's how confident you are in getting up there and show, like, that's really the most important thing. If you don't know the show, you'll get to know the show.
Right.
And then we're going to have a little dance that we're going to come up with and teach it to you there so that you can see, like, so we can see how quickly you pick up dance steps. But again, if you're not a dancer, that does not mean you're not going to get a part. It's just what I want. I'm going to see where you're at.
Yeah, right.
And then everybody will be doing cold reads, but that's where you read for the very first time there. And it's just like, if you feel like you messed up and you want to read it again, say, can I read that again? And I'll say, yeah, okay, that's fine. Actually, I'll be very much like, yeah, of course.
And Gretch, what about when it comes to rehearsal time and some of those things?
So the first month of rehearsal will be strictly music. So like we're doing our, this is one thing you might note is that we're doing it differently. Normally we do our auditions after school is done, and then we work really hard for about a month and a half. We are starting in May because we got music to learn. So May will be the time after school where we learn the music, and you won't be at every single one of those rehearsals. It'll be based on what scenes you're in. And so just we'll figure out that which based on what character you are. So a couple nights a week after school. And then if you can't make it, we'll try to arrange another time for you to work with me and Sue on the music. And then June and July, we'll be practicing in the afternoons at the theater, as in small groups and large groups. And so it'll kind of be based on what character. And then towards the last 2 weeks or so, we'll have a lot like more technical related rehearsals that last a little bit longer, but you'll get a calendar.
While it certainly there's things to learn, there's things to focus and do and everything, I think that it's also noteworthy to parents, to kids out there, that rehearsals can be a little like recess. They're a little like that in the sense of just you're having fun with friends and that and enjoying yourself while also doing something.
I would say that's what the majority of my childhood was filled with. I mean, I wanted to be at rehearsal. It wasn't work for me. I met the majority of my friends through children's theater, and they're still some of my best friends today.
It's a great note.
Yeah, it is.
When it comes to people who have never done anything like this too, we're always encouraging people to be a part of these productions. And yeah, we're talking about kids when it comes to these productions, but adults, you're not skating past this either. We've got a whole new season coming up real soon, and can always use more adults with our productions, more people auditioning, and certainly volunteers and people working behind the scenes. And that could be for any of these, whether it's Hopo shows or it's the main stage.
Yep, I'm always looking for painters and set builders and people who want to help out with supervising children backstage.
Very, very important. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're speaking with Gretchen Powers, Executive Director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We're going to take a quick time out, check in with our partners. When we come back, we'll have some more Director's Cut for you right here at WFHR. Welcome back to Director's Cut here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James taking you through this show, and we are joined by our great friend Gretchen Powers, Executive Director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Gretch, I wanted to get into another production coming up. It's a Madhouse. This is going to be directed by another good friend of ours, Stephanie, who, of course, has a long history with our theater, and with you, of course. Can we tell people about this and a little bit about if the structure is different than Newsies or anything?
Yeah, so Stephanie Hirth is directing It's a Madhouse, and it's what is considered our Hopo production. And for those of you who have never heard or known the difference, we've always had this, well, not always, for the last about 11 years, we've had a company called Hopo, with WRCT Presents Hopo. And that was created when Stephanie it's spelled H-O-E, so it's pronounced Hearth, like Earth, and so I always mess it up and I call her Hearth, but it's not how you pronounce it.
You notice how I always call her Stephanie? I never mention her last name. There's a reason.
So her last name starts with Ho, and my last name starts with Po. And what used to happen is we used to have a traveling theater company come from Minnesota called Prairie Fire Children's Theater, and we would audition Monday and we'd be performing by Friday. And we loved that. And then eventually the Arts Council or whoever, it stopped being a thing at the library. And so we're like, let's create a company like that. But we were nicer and we made it out of 2 weeks. And so that's what Hopo is. When you're sitting and listening, what is Hopo? That's what that is. Yes, it is a more fast-paced situation where you're probably going to have longer rehearsals and it's going to be crazy chaos, but in a fun way. Mm-hmm. So she will be doing her auditions on July 15th and performing August 3rd and 4th. Same place at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. After Newsies is wrapped, she'll have her auditions the Monday after. You'll get your scripts and then start some pretty intense rehearsals. I'm not sure if they're doing morning or afternoon. That's for Stephanie to decide. But keep an eye out for that information. She does awesome. The kids love her. She's very organized and it never disappoints. She always makes it fun. So
she's a really good director and really good with kids. Mm-hmm. I've known quite a few kids over the years that have been in productions with her, and they come out of it just so excited, so happy. And so many of them come out of it, I don't want to say changed, but more confident, stronger, if lack of a better word. Because not only organically these things just happen as kids, you know, have these experiences, but it's also something that Stephanie's particular approach and the way she directs, I think she really does make everybody feel important. Make everybody feel, whether you have one line or 20, you're going to feel the same as your fellow castmates.
I've always, and she directed me when I was a kid. That's how old I am. she used to basically, she'd find something in almost, she'd find humor in almost every little bit, mm-hmm. and she'd be able to pull more and more out of it. That's one thing I always really admired about her. I tried taking some of that when I started directing myself. And I don't know that I could ever do it justice the way she always did. And so, but it's always fun to see what she'll come up with. Like she even does that with our adults. She started directing our main stage shows last year, and she did fantastic with Curious Savage. She took it and made it her own, and you can definitely see it. But right up to the songs she chooses for scene change. Like she's very particular, and it shows. And she gets a. I love watching her think because she's really funny. Because when she starts laughing, an organic laugh, it's just like, oh, she's got a thought.
Yeah.
So, and it's really cool.
The structure for this one, as you mentioned, is a little bit different. If it was an adult show with adults acting in it and everything, I'd think of it as guerrilla theater. It's a little similar to that to me, and some of the productions I've done like that. The difference of that being that the intenseness is, while it may be a bit chaotic, like you touched on and everything, with Stephanie at the helm and with the kids involved, it may be hectic, but it's fun.
Yeah.
There's more energy. There's more. It's an exciting feeling. It's a good feeling that's going on, a good energy.
And they've all got the same common goals, to put on the best show ever. So whether you're a little 10-year-old girl or a 18-year-old boy, your goal is to put that show on the best that it can be, and they have fun doing it, and live goes on with them. They're some of those kids are graduating this year, and it's just wonderful to see how confident they all are. And mm-hmm. I like watching on Facebook what their plans are going off to do next year, and I'm like, wow. And I bet you theater really helped them gain that confidence to go do that. So
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Putting a pause there for a second, because I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you if we could describe the play a little bit.
I believe that it's a very kid-appropriate murder mystery type of thing.
So kinda, we'll touch on it just
kinda
a little
like
bit.
Clue. I didn't actually personally read the script. That was probably something I should have done. But I know that when she probably previewed like 5 or 6 different scripts.
Sorry,
she was like, this
yeah.
is the
nope.
one. And
give myself a mark.
So yeah,
we'll pick right here up, and I'm just going to ask you a little.
Oh, okay.
Let's go through. Gretch, I'm wondering if we could maybe give a little synopsis, a little Cliff Notes version of what the play is about.
So I haven't read the script, but Stephanie has described it as like a murder mystery that's appropriate for kids. It's supposed to be very funny. She's done a similar one in the past a couple years ago, and then there was None or something like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's got that same type of vibe. You know, she's very good at those with the a lot of kind of like slapstick humor and the stressfulness of a murder mystery and the who did it.
Right.
And gosh, I wish I would have read this script beforehand. But that just means that it's going to be more of a surprise for you.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Good point.
One of the fun things that Steph does is finding those, Pixar, Disney, they're really good at incorporating a little bit of adult humor in the kid stuff and everything. Steph does almost the opposite, where she has kind of does a really good job with adult themes and making them very kid-like and kid-friendly and stuff.
Yeah, and she knows not to push it with, like, there are never any innuendos with her or anything like that.
Right.
It's all very kid-friendly, and she... So her script, it comes from Pioneer Drama, if you want to look up the synopsis. It has a little bit more information on there, so.
And when it comes to the, I always like, especially when we're talking about auditioning for the main stage shows and that, I always like to get into, well, what kind of people we're looking for. Well, with something like this, we're looking for everybody. Like, there's no kid that couldn't have fun at a show like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doesn't matter if you're 8 or 18. There's parts for all ages. It's not just for the teenagers. So,
And keep in mind, you can find out more about this at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We'll be talking about it, of course, on our morning shows and spreading the word about this when we get closer to auditions. And again, auditions are July 15th, 5 to 7, over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Production dates will be August 3rd and 4th. Things to keep in mind as summer can get busy for some people. So that's something to keep in mind, but not to deter you from it. Oftentimes, if your schedule is workable, Stephanie or Gretchen or anybody, or the director will work with people, so I wanted that to deter anybody from doing anything, but to keep in mind.
Yep. Just let us know when you come to auditions that you have conflicts. I know Newsies is a lot more flexible because there's a giant time frame from May to July that we can work around baseball games, summer camps, things like that. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Gretchen, if you don't mind, I would like to, because we have a little more time to play with here than we realized, I want to get into the next season with you a little bit, but I mentioned earlier some of the excitement in the community about some of the things that you have been doing, some of the things that have been added from you and the board and all that, and one of the things is really making use of that studio theater. And having more things there. There was recently some karaoke there. I heard good things about that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not show up because I wanted it to be successful. No, I'm just kidding. But I will be there one time, just if anything, just because I just don't want to sing.
It's fun to watch, even if you're not a singer.
yeah.
A really cool thing about it is that everybody supports each other. So even if you're totally bombing your song, which no one really did, people are there to sing backup for you or just cheer you on and clap at the end. So,
with that and some other things that I've seen that you have in store, are you looking to do more with that theater going forward?
I would like to see something, even if it were every weekend. I don't mind working weekends. It's kind of right. Doesn't feel like work to me. Just feels like we're having a show. Mm-hmm. So yeah, whether you want to do a director's showcase, that's where you pick your own play and direct it with a small cast, trying to keep it under like a one act or an hour and a half to keep it, so that people aren't sitting for 3 hours. But mm-hmm. Something creative, something that maybe the main stage won't ever see.
Wait, let me write something down. Director's showcase. Got to pick up. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm working on some things myself. Yeah.
I'd like to host open mic nights where people want to come and even if it's not theater related, want to come and read a poem they wrote or try a stand-up act that they've started working on. A good way to just showcase what you're doing or if you just want to sing some songs.
Mm-hmm. We kind of did that with the cast party that we had for Glass Menagerie, as a matter of fact. We actually held it in the studio theater, and we had someone brought a guitar, and so yeah, people would go up there, just play a song if they, if you needed accompaniment, they would play it for you or play it with you and sing. Actually, it was a lot of fun, I have to say, and that was very informal. So yeah, something like that would actually, I think, be very welcome in this area.
Yep, it's a nice little intimate space. We're we're hosting a improv night this weekend, well, on Friday. Never let me do an event on trivia weekend ever again.
Yeah, I forgot about trivia.
I was going to ask you about that off air. I can only imagine, yeah.
Whoops. Anyway, but yeah, something different every month.
Yeah.
Like a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. Beth and I, your wife and I were talking about that, Seth.
Yes, yes, she told me about that. Right, that's very cool, yeah.
I think that's really a great idea. We've seen things like this be successful in other spots and other areas, and I don't see why it couldn't be here. I think it's just a lack of not doing it, just simply. I think that more of this, the improv night is a great idea. The karaoke stuff, these are all things that I think are really fun stuff for the community, and it reminds them and gives them an opportunity to be more comfortable at the theater, coming to the theater. Maybe they feel more comfortable auditioning. Maybe that experience on stage doing karaoke or jumping in on an improv sketch gives them, lights that spark and gets them auditioning and that kind of thing. So it's a really smart move as well to kind of build maybe a little bit more of a body of people to pull from.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that we're going to be doing, and it's actually not going to be in the studio theater, it's going to be on the main stage, is I'm going to start doing fundraisers for nonprofits.
Wow.
So the very first one is going to be May 18th, and we're doing an improv show, so I'm working with Mark for that too. And it's going to be, it's called Laughter is the Best Medicine. It's an hour workshop before the show, and then a 2-hour show to follow, and then half those proceeds will go to Three Bridges Recovery for Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes. So very cool.
Gonna do something similar. I'm hoping to do something to something with domestic violence in October, because that's domestic violence awareness month.
Yeah.
So just looking for some nonprofits that might want to partner with me. I do a fundraiser and provide some really good entertainment for that night.
That's right.
It's wonderful, Gretch.
Yeah.
And the theater, for as long as WRCT has been around, it's put it into the community, not just entertaining the community, but working with the community. It's nice to hear more and more of those things in mind. And going forward, as I said earlier, and we've all noted in this community, we are stronger together, especially when our nonprofits work together. That's only going to benefit everybody. That's really cool to hear. We will take our final time out, unless you had something that I just cut you off from. We'll take one last time out. We'll come back and have some more fun with Gretchen Powers from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater here on Director's Cut. Welcome back to Director's Cut, everybody. We thank you for joining us and supporting the show so much and supporting our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, who we're talking to today. We have Gretchen Powers with us, EP over there, ED over there, Executive Director, EP, EP, a whole different thing. I'm in radio. What am I doing?
I don't know my title either. It's
just goes by the boss.
Yeah, no. I like that. All right, we got to get your business card so you remember that. Gretchen, one of the things that we wanted to get into was the 24-25 season and touch on that a little bit and certainly give some notes to Rumors that is coming up and encourage people to buy tickets and get ready for that. But along with all of that is we're always looking for good directors. And we happen to have a good director with us right now. Actually, two of them, because you're both darn
Gretchen
good.
I was going to say Gretchen, too. I mean, yeah. You know, just kidding.
I can speak to how good of a director yes. she is.
So can I, as a matter of fact.
Right, right. That's right. And I wanted to put you on the spot. I mean, talk to you, Seth, mm-hmm. a little bit about your directing experience. You just got done a little while ago yeah. wrapping up doing The Glass Menagerie. To people out there that are thinking about directing, and maybe if they've done it before, it's been a while, or maybe they've never done it before, kind of giving them a little bit of a taste of mm-hmm. what it was like for you, because you were a first-time director as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it a little bit, especially working with WRCT. Yeah, specifically, of course, that was not just me. It was me and Beth, my wife. We co-directed A Glass Menagerie together. And I'm sure as people remember us talking about it a lot when yeah. we were getting ready to do it, it was a multimedia fair, which meant that we had video involved. We had recorded voiceover, other kinds of just to mix it up a little bit. It's a venerable play. It's been around for a long time. Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to thank them for not only allowing, you know, giving me the chance, the shot, giving us the shot to do direct the show, but also to do all the extra stuff that we did with it. It was a risk in a lot of ways because there was always chance of technical issues and stuff, you know, things not coming on. We had very intricate scene changes where we had to move like a big screen off, and then we had a platform that spun and that kind of stuff. So it wasn't an overly, you know, elaborate stage, but there were certain things that, you know, if they didn't go quite right, it would look kind of whoops, you know, yeah. kind of thing. So not only was all the people that we worked with, they were so wonderful, the cast, the crew, everybody from us on down, it was absolutely fabulous. And I want to speak to how the like the executive director and the rest of the board and everyone helped out behind the scenes stuff. They could not have made it easier. I mean, we had our production manager, Jim Rinker, was fabulous. In fact, it was the first time he'd done that before. Wow. So it was a lot of first timers on this
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So we were all in it together, you know, and we were all helping each other and trying to lift each other up. We had a couple of, you know, an actor who hadn't acted since high school, mm-hmm. had to bring, you know, help him up and everything. We had the old veterans there as well. It was just a fabulous mix of the old and the new. And we couldn't have been happier with how it turned out. But because we had the support, yeah. we had the background people, we had everything we needed in order to succeed. And that's why I think we did succeed.
One of the things that stands out when you're talking about that, Seth, is how long before, you know, really... any of us were kind of doing things with this company. They've been here doing this, and there's something that's been established there, and a foundation, a blueprint, if you
sure.
will, and everything. And while things change and they get adapted over the years, the consistency and the structure doesn't really change. And having something like that, Gretchen, if you are a first-time director, has got to be very comforting with all the chaos that can happen in moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the biggest thing to keep in mind when you're debating whether or not you want to become a director is that you're not in it alone, and you don't have to think of where your set is going to come from or how things are going to come to be. That's why we have a team mm-hmm. with a production manager and a set builder and your light designers and sound designers. Mm-hmm. It all comes together. We all work together for that one common goal. So.
And, you know, leaning on Seth and his recent experience, it also reminds me you've had some experience with this, too, as a director and a first-time director. Had quite the first show, you know, with you know, certainly stuff that we have all talked about a little bit here and there, but things you plan and then things that just happen and being able to adapt with those things. I imagine that not only having the people that you had with you and everything, but also having a company that was supportive really went a long way with that production.
It did. And being able to go bring any concerns or questions to the board or the staff there, it was nice to be able to feel supported, like you weren't alone in everything. So,
mm-hmm. I do want to point out one other thing that makes WRCT a little bit different from a lot of community theater groups. You guys have infrastructure. You guys have the stage. You have a place for all your props. You have a place for all this setting stuff that you do. You have a workshop there, and I've been a part of several community theaters, and there's very few that can say they have that. And just being able to have that makes it that much easier in order to maybe be a director, because you can find stuff, you can build stuff. It's all right there, and it does, I think, I'd say 100 times easier.
It's definitely very efficient to mm-hmm. be able to have our own space. And like you said, it's a rarity.
So. It is for a community theater.
More than most, and I say this as a creative, more than most creatives need policing with themselves sometimes and need help with themselves sometimes. We have ideas, we have thoughts, we just want to run with them. And it helps to have some structure. It helps to have some foundation like a WRCT to kind of support those dreams and those great imaginative ideas while also like, that's not going to happen. You know that, right? You know that? I mean, there's an understanding and finding that balance of that. Like, okay, that's a great idea that is literally, I don't even think they could do in Hollywood, but don't lose the idea. Let's see if we can work with it and figure it out. And you look at something like what Seth pulled off with the multimedia aspect. Mm-hmm. It looks great on paper. It seems like it'd be a cool idea. It's another thing to pull it off, and it's another thing for a production company like WRCT to support it. Mm-hmm. So that's noteworthy there. Gretchen, with what you did with It's a Wonderful Life, you had a different approach to that show than others have done, and not everybody would be okay with that. You had a company that supported it. Mm-hmm. I think those are noteworthy things as well when it comes to people looking into directing.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool how we're excited to take risks because we know we've got like clouds to land on instead of just falling and
For sure, yes.
There's room for error and got a team of people who help fix things mm-hmm. when there are things that go wrong, which is really cool.
Well said. And it's important to keep in mind because if you have never directed before, or if you're looking to direct and continue to direct or get down more into it, you can find out more at wrctheater.org. There is a great section for it at Directing with WRCT. And as Seth mentioned, there are workshops and there are different things that they're just not going to throw you out there and hey, good luck.
I want to add that this year we're doing something that we've never done before, even for directors who have directed before, is that I'm going to have, after we've chosen the directors, and before we get going with the new season, I'm going to have something called Director Saturday where all four directors get to come in and we all get to talk about our plans for the shows and like with have lunch together and kind of like, okay, well, do you know who you want on your team? What do you want for your team? So that it's not just what are we doing and scrambling and having a production meeting right before, so that I know what people are wanting from the beginning. And then also if there's a new director who's never done it before, kind of show them they'd have the opportunity to talk with the other directors and stuff. So that's kind of neat.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really smart. And support that can only help anybody going forward with that. Very cool. You mentioned something that I think is really interesting, Gretchen, not only about your position, but about community theaters in general and the balance of we want to entertain, we want to keep the lights on as well. And having that balance of figuring out a community of what they want to see and what they want to take in. And so with that, we have, of course, script reading and a script committee that helps decide what productions and what plays we're going to do in the next season. And I want to get into kind of touch on the 2024 season with you. You will probably have to come back and really get into it with us sometime. I apologize. But with that in mind, the season has that mix, I feel, of some new fun stuff and some traditional stuff. I think it's a really nice balance of that. It kicks off in the fall of 2024 with Drinking Habits. The auditions for that will be August 12th and the 13th with productions in September, end of September. This is a fun one. And this is one of those ones that kind of blurs lines a little bit as far as like the nunnery and some of that. I'm trying not to reference nonsense. I'm really trying not to. I can't help it though. It's hard not to. But
you
this
tell
is
people
fun.
It's drinking and nuns all in one. Yeah. You're like, okay, yep, I'm coming to that.
Kind of a good synopsis, actually. Nicely done. This has one thing I do want. It is a farce, and it has three men and five women a part of it. Yep. We are always looking for people to audition, man or woman. But I do want to remind the men out there the challenge that I have put out there. Mm-hmm. I am challenging all men in this community to audition. Every one of you. It can't just be me and Seth every time. Yeah. We want more and more of you guys out there. And I am telling you, if you are looking, there's so many of us, men especially, Seth, and around our age range that still want to have that sports experience or that feeling or that competitiveness or something. That is theater. I am telling you, that is theater. Theater. It is not about competition as far as a score.
No, not
it
at
is
all.
It is about the challenge and balance of yourself and working those things and having not only memorizing your lines mm-hmm. and your blocking, talking, but working with others. These are all things that you do in sports just as well.
It is. It's very much in that kind of exhilarating feeling when you're on stage and you perform well and that sort of thing. That's very similar feeling to when, you know, you score the winning basket, you know, kick the field goal kind of thing.
It's one of those things you experience and you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you'll like the people that you're working with. That's kind of like the number one thing. You're going to make some friends that are going to live with you for the rest of your life.
I got to say, I owe a lot to theater. I really do. I met my wife at theater. I met James, which led to me getting this job in a theater. I'm telling you. It's good stuff, man.
It really is. Really is. And with the holiday production, which is always a blast and a well-attended one, White Christmas was the choice this year. October auditions October 7th and 8th.
A musical. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We had a very brave play selection committee this year.
Yes.
And we are taking the leap of faith and... We've got a musical director who's interested in being, because you need to have a director and an artistic director and a musical director. Mm-hmm. So we can't like make any official announcements yet, but we've had some people come forth as a musical director, but we still need an artistic director. So
very cool.
Yep. So
this is going to have feature 4 men, 6 women. It's an ensemble show.
Yep. So more than just the 4. So it'll be like the 4 men, 6 women lead characters, but still an ensemble. Where I know that there's hope to accept some kids in the ensemble.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, even if it's just to, you know, let them be in a couple musical numbers, so we aren't going to be turning away kids just because people don't think that kids are a part of White Christmas.
We can
make it happen, and so bring your dancing shoes and your singing voice. So.
And anything with Irving Berlin, attach some great songs.
Oh, absolutely.
Classic songs that you just know and love.
Mm-hmm. I'm dreaming. I'm auditioning now.
Nicely done. You got the part. That's a fun production. It's one of those ones, too, that time of year to be a part of something like that. I can actually speak to this. It really brings out the spirit in you of Christmas. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's a fun show to be a part of, too.
Yeah.
Again, the audition dates for that are October 7th and 8th. And production dates will be in the beginning of September. Or December, sorry. Would make no sense to have it in September, a Christmas play. And in winter of 2025, Arsenic and Old Lace. Auditions are December 16th and 17th. Production dates will be at the end of February into March. I have talked about this show actually a lot on the air. It's based on the movie, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's top 5 movies of all time for me. That's how much I love that movie. It's a fun, amazing show. It's a big cast. We're going to need you to come out, everybody.
And it's exciting because this is the first time in a long time that we've done a comedy in that time slot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the majority of those have been dramas lately. And, you know, as much as, you know, they do really awesome job with those dramas, they don't pull people out of their houses in the cold winter months. This is kind of my strategy to try to get people to come
very
and see
good.
The shows.
I love that. You know, when it comes to taking chances, I think you always have to look at what is my floor and what is my ceiling. And if the ceiling extends, the ceiling is a limit you can't see, why not go for it? This is going to be well attended. If you're going to do this, doing it with a show that's well known and we know is usually does well, that's a smart move too. So that's another added part to this that I noticed strategically was a really good idea.
And it's cool because we've done it twice already in the last, this is our 50th season. That's another thing that's important to note, that it's our 50th anniversary season.
Yes.
I thought
celebrating next year,
be a good idea to like put on like a tip of the top. Where you're giving an ode to that previous lifetime where in the 90s or 80s when we did those shows and
excellent.
You know, we're not here without them. We're not here without those early productions, without all of that. And so it's a great idea to give a tip of the hat to that.
That's the phrase.
And it's a cool way of doing it, too, because it's a show, being honest with the audience and everything, I have for years been asking, hey, are you guys ever going to do this? Hey, you guys ever going to do Arsenic and Old Lace? And Linda and everybody would tell, oh, we already done it. We've done it too much. The idea of bringing it back, now this is the time to do it. Mm-hmm. A 50th anniversary, as you said, a kind of thank you to the past and all of that, while also bringing in, obviously, a new cast and a new way of doing it. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a fun show. Looking forward to that one. And we wrap up the 25 season with the spring show, Noises Off, another great comedy classic. Mm-hmm.
It's a classic, yeah.
Auditions will be March 10th and 11th with production dates in May. Now, when you said earlier about this being an ambitious kind of season that the play selection committee chose, I agree with you 100%, no more than with this particular production. Noises Off is a classic, but it is a big production. It's not just with the cast and everything, but the set design is intense. I love the challenge with this. This is a really good idea. If I wasn't so focused on arsenic and old lace, I'd be focused on this.
I've had some people make some comments like, how are you going to do that set? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we do have a couple ideas. Always looking for an expert to say, how about you try this? So got any ideas? Now would be the time to give me a call. So,
one of the things that you do kind of tee us up for there is when we're talking to people about being a part of these productions, but also coming to these shows. One of the things that has always been noteworthy with WRCT, and we all know this, is the great stages that they create. But man, in the last couple of years, it has been above and beyond. It is really
remarkable. Yeah.
I, as somebody who eats, sleeps, and breathes this stuff, I have to focus sometimes on, oh my gosh, they're talking. I get so focused on the stage and looking at little things and all the details that are put into it. So if we're going to do a show like this, I feel pretty confident with the team we have. Certainly reach out to Gretchen and everybody over there with ideas. I don't want to keep anybody from that, but this is a good time to do a show like this.
Yep, and if you want to just be an extra pair of hands, I've also always loved taking on new people who are willing to. They may not have the idea, but they want to help. We will take you. So.
Yeah. When it comes to anybody out there who hasn't been a part of things with WRCT before, it's a nice reminder that we've kind of done. Subconsciously, mm-hmm. if you will, the three of us talking about this is how inviting the area is. How you come down and you never leave. You know, you really don't. You whether it's Gretchen and when she was a kid making friends that she still has, or Seth telling you about his experiences. When you're a part of things at WRCT, you really are a part of a family. You really are part of a team.
Right. Well, and that's what I like about it so much. Mm-hmm. They actually put community first. Yeah, it's great to put on great shows and have great set. I mean, that's all fabulous. But at the end of the day, it's a community theater. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to be open to the community, to help, to enjoy, to come, whatever it is you want to do, however you want to get involved. That's what it's there for. We're here for you, everyone. So,
looking for directors, looking for more people. Of course, you can find out more at wrctheater.org. And Gretchen, did we cover everything today?
Did we get it all?
I think we did. Okay. I do want to make a little note that if you go on our website, we've made some updates. I shouldn't say I made the updates. My friend Linda Garski helps me with the website, and she's figured out some really cool things. She even put a volunteer form on there so that if you don't feel like calling me, you can just fill out the volunteer form, and it's really cool. Mm-hmm. There's also a pre-registration form on there for Newsies so that if you fill that out ahead of time, I'll know you're coming, and then I won't panic so much when I see that there are 50 kids auditioning, and I'll just know ahead of time. So get the chance, fill that out before you come.
Nice.
Keep in mind again that auditions for Newsies is April 29th and 30th from 5 to 8 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. For the production of It's a Madhouse, auditions will be July 15th, with productions being on August 3rd and 4th. And keep in mind, all of this you can find out more at wrctheater.org. And be sure to follow them on social media. It is a great follow. Buy local, support local, support the arts, everybody. Gretchen, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
And Seth and I will talk to you soon and later right here on Director's Cut, WFHR.